Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. Have you ever been or are you in business? I mean, it could be traditional or online, major corporation or just a solopreneur. I mean, you could have been in business for years or just a few days and just starting out. No matter where you fall along that timeline, marketing has to enter the equation. I mean, you can spend thousands of dollars on marketing that you think should work great, only to have it completely fail, and you have no clue as to why. You can adjust it, try again, and fail. Or you can look around and find someone and ask them for help, especially if you're just new to, you know, maybe just experimenting with marketing right now. You may have a hard time trying to decide just what marketing will do and who to market with, if they can actually provide the results that you seek. Well, if that even comes close to describing what you're doing or feeling right now, you want to pay attention to today's interview. My guest today is Evan Knox with Caffeine Marketing. I love that name. Matter of fact, let me take a sip of coffee right now. Praise the Lord. And as much as I love good, bold coffee, this has to be good. Amen. Evan is the founder of Caffeine Marketing and as a small business investor as well. Now, Caffeine Marketing makes profitable marketing easy for small companies. As an investor, Evan helps small companies double and sometimes even triple their bottom line. And if you're looking at marketing or having an issue with it, Evan's the guy that you want to reach out and talk to. He has helped over 100 business leaders to grow thriving companies. Amen? So get out your notepad, get out your pad of paper, your pen, pencil, whatever you're going to use, because this is going to be good. Help me welcome to the program, Evan Knox. Evan, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Hey, Robert. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate you inviting me on the show.
Amen. Now, Evan, the first question I always start with is this. Other than that brief information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Evan Knox?
Yeah. So born and raised in Atlanta, fourth generation entrepreneur, business owner. And I also love Jesus, which is cool. So I love business and marketing and helping small business owners.
All right. Now, you did some Christian missions work straight out of high school, right?
I did, yeah. I actually left high school and joined an organization called YWAM, stands for Youth with a Mission, and did what's called a DTS. It's a discipleship training school. So like the first half is like basically a mini seminary. And then the second half is like going out in the field doing more actual mission work.
Hey, man. Where was that at?
So one was in Australia, and it was in a place called Toowoomba, which is on the east coast of Australia. And then the outreach part of my, you know, DTS was in Thailand. And I was everywhere from Bangkok, Chiang Mai, Chiang Rai, which was a ton of fun and obviously super humbling. So it was really cool.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. When my Bible school dean, his name was... Dean Powers is what we call him. He
oh yeah.
You know who he is? Dean Powers?
That name's super familiar. I feel like is he Assemblies AOG? Is that?
Yep.
All right. That's probably where I've heard of him. I'm not necessarily AOG, but YWAM is very AOG. That's cool.
Yeah. Amen. He had, Todd Powers. That's his name. Todd Powers, Dean Powers and his wife. And when they left the Bible, you know, he was there for, gosh, years and years. But then they got called back out into the missions field because that's where they started. And he has a huge ministry in Thailand right now. Orphanages, schools, Bible college, and all that in Thailand. So, amen.
Crazy. Yeah.
Now, I read that you started, this is amazing, you started and finished your bachelor's degree in 5 months. How did you do that?
Yeah, that's funny. So I, you know, leaving the high school that I grew up in, very focused on college. It was a public school, but it was one of the best public schools in Georgia. And it was like 99% of my class all went to college. I mean, and I remember my principal bringing me in and us sitting down and having a conversation and him being like, hey, Evan, your grades are, you know, good to great. Like, why are you not going to college? And I was like, hey, I'm going to do this thing. It sounds totally crazy, but I'm going to like go join YWAM and go do mission work and stuff like that. And so it's funny to have my principal sit me down and be like, so why aren't you going to college? So all that to be said, I put college not necessarily on the back burner, but for me, it didn't seem like an essential part to where I wanted to go in my future at that moment. And I was not ever like, hey, I'm against college. I'm definitely against student loan debt. And so fast forward to, let's say, 2015, maybe, let's go with 2015. My wife and I got married and we had $100,000 in student loan debt. Mm. And, you know, I was all something that I would say inherited, but totally worth it. And we started Caffeine. So we had started Caffeine, had the $100,000 in student loan debt, and we're trying to pay off the $100,000 in student loan debt while bootstrapping the company at the same time. And at the time I was like, man, I want to wait till we pay this off before I go back to school. You know, I'd rather pay for it out of pocket. Well, then I found a school that you pay per semester. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I bet I could get the whole thing done in one semester, which was very, I guess I wouldn't say I bet off more than I could chew, but it was a lot. So anyway, just hunkered down, made it happen. It was not fun, but I just got it out of the way.
Wow. I know a lot of colleges pay per semester hour class.
Yep.
Right. So it might be, $100 per semester hour. So a typical class is three semester hours. So that'd be $300 for the class. And you got to have 120 credits for a 4-year degree.
Yeah. Somewhere around there or more.
You did all that in 5 months.
Yeah. I mean, really anything's possible. I remember meeting with my guidance counselor or whoever it was that was like my liaison with the school, and I told them, hey, what's the quickest anyone's gotten a bachelor's degree, you know, with the university or whatever? And they were like, oh, we think someone's done it in like about a year. I was like, all right, challenge accepted. So, yeah.
Praise God.
And it didn't, I mean, truth be told, it did help that my degree was in marketing and I was already running a marketing agency. I don't know if it's called a capstone project, but like my final project or whatever it's called, was my own business plan. So that saved me a lot of work because I literally could just turn that in, which was cool.
Amen. Well, true confession time, right? I joined the Army straight out of high school, right? And I started taking some classes, hit and miss, usually one at a time, and then maybe one class here and nothing next semester, and then one class here. It took me 9 years to get my associate's.
Yeah.
And then it took me 9 more to finish my bachelor's, right? But I did get my bachelor's degree, and took 2 more years to get my master's, once I started.
See, you would accelerate it by that point. You were a pro.
The master's degree was part of our police department as a way of grooming their executives as they were going to be moving up. And I went to... Because of the academy gave, so many credits where, new people could almost, they needed like 3 classes to complete an associate's degree in criminal justice after the academy. And once I came off probation, the department would pay for your college, right? So I went in to see the commander. I said, I already have my bachelor's, right? And I said, I'd like to go ahead and just finish off these 3 classes to get the degree in criminal justice. I figured that'd help with promotions and stuff.
Yeah. And
he said, don't you already have your bachelor's? I said, yeah. He goes, why don't you apply for a master's? He goes, I don't know about all that.
Sure.
Hey, the way the department works, that's your duty assignment. You go there and that's where you're supposed to be 2 days a week.
He goes, really? Oh, wow.
Okay. And you pay for it. Okay, I'll apply, and I was accepted. And
that's amazing. I love that. The sort of programs are awesome.
Loaned it there.
Yeah, congrats.
At Johns Hopkins University to boot. So,
oh wow, that's impressive.
I usually get a good laugh out of people when I tell them, "Yeah, it took me 9 years to finish my college." That was the associate's part. Oh man! Now, why did you start Caffeine Marketing?
So my dad was an entrepreneur. He owned a diamond wholesale company. And if you think about it, my grandfather owned a jewelry store. So he was in the B2C side of the jewelry industry. So that's like watches, engagement rings, all that stuff. And then my dad did the B2B side. So he would sell to other jewelry stores, my grandfather included, and would import these diamonds. And okay. I grew up just thinking like entrepreneurship was normal for me. Loved it. Like loved, you know, my family, obviously, family businesses definitely had their dynamics for sure, which was very interesting. But I cherished that moment. And fast forward to, 3.5 years ago or so, my dad had just passed away recently. My grandfather was looking at retiring and I had this marketing experience. And I thought to myself, you know what? I can't help my dad anymore because he's no longer with us. And my grandfather really is not in a stage where I think he's trying to grow his company at all. So it doesn't make sense to really work with him. So I can't help them, but I bet I can help other small business owners and entrepreneurs like them. And so that's why I decided to start Caffeine Marketing.
Hey, man. So let's do just a generalization here. Describe the general common client that comes to you looking for help. You know, what type of situation do most of them start off with?
Most of them are existing businesses that are doing less than $25 million a year in revenue. I'd say some of the smaller clients that we help are at least doing $200,000 in annual revenue, but they're generally like higher than that. And they can be from everywhere in the B2C space, so which is business to consumer and business to business space as well. We've seen, you know, incredibly profitable marketing in both directions. The key really is that we use a framework called StoryBrand. So it's a 7-part framework created by this guy named Donald Miller out of Tennessee. And basically it uses the 7 parts of story that most screenwriters and book writers use in order to craft marketing in a way that people actually listen and it doesn't just turn into noise. So that's our specialty really, is using that 7-part framework from everything from websites to advertising like Facebook or Google ads, or creating some sort of lead gen on their website so that, you know, they can get people's email addresses.
Wow. So you basically help them to tell the story about their business. And in the process, just like reading a good book, you know, it starts off and you're not getting into the deep part in the beginning. You're just introducing everything to the reader. And that's drawing them deeper and deeper into the thing where now they can't put the book down. They got to finish it. All
right. Right. And what's interesting is that it's less about necessarily telling the business's story. It's about helping the business that were our client in this case, helping our client be the guide to their customer or client. Because customers or clients are not looking for another hero in the story. They're looking for an Obi-Wan Kenobi or a Haymitch from the Hunger Games. They're looking for somebody that can help them win the day. Somebody who has the experience that they're looking for and can ultimately help them be successful. So we help our clients to create messaging and a story that's not really about them, but it invites potential customers and clients into a story and paints a picture of success and also lets them know it's at risk if they don't work with them.
Oh, wow. That is so cool. So you're not making this into a screenplay?
Hey, man. It probably could be for some businesses, maybe.
Hey, man. Now, things were not always that smooth for you, even though you say you grew up because of the diamond industry and all. You said that you grew up with anything you could ever want, but there had to be some adversity in your life. I mean, what were some of the things, you know, what were some of those things, and what did you learn through the adverse situations?
Yeah, so it felt like it really kind of, my life hit the fan per se in high school. My parents started to act kind of weird. And I wasn't really sure what was going on. I was trying to, you know, put stuff together. But as an only child, I didn't have anybody to run things by. You know, it was just kind of me and trying to pick up on stuff. And lo and behold, my dad had basically started to re-struggle with a narcotics addiction he had before my parents met. And so, you know, that was super tough because, you know, like you mentioned, I had everything I could ever want more, just a spoiled only child living in a, you know, fairly nice area of the Atlanta metro area. Mm-hmm. And I went from having everything I could ever want to there being a bank notice on the door and my mom having to work some sort of customer service job just to like keep us in the house a little bit longer. And I remember going to the dentist and just feeling like super afraid that like we couldn't, and my mom never, like my mom was so good about trying to keep me not necessarily out of the loop, but she never had like a fear mentality with me necessarily. But I'm, you know, at this point, by the time my parents get divorced, my dad's struggling with drugs, we lose everything. I think I'm like 16 or 17 and everything really finally, you know, caps it, capstones. And yeah, I mean, I was afraid. I developed a scarcity mindset in that season. Thankfully, I put my faith in Jesus a few years before, so I was really leaning into my faith and that relationship. But it was very, very hard. That was hard, not to like skip through some of the stuff, but so that happens. And then eventually my mom gets remarried to an awesome guy named John. And then John actually passes away in a car wreck about like 3 years after they got married, which was like super tough. And then my dad ends up passing away maybe like 3.5 years ago or so. So it's been a lot of grief, a lot of struggle, a lot of stuff to overcome. And it's very interesting to have your identity be in this, like, I don't know, you know, kind of a, not necessarily a jockey high school kid, but like, you know, my identity was misplaced and it was ripped out from under me, and it became very apparent that I couldn't lean on status and wealth. You know, I had to lean into something else, a higher power.
Yeah. Amen. And, you know, when I've had, you know, several instances of it, you know, severe adversity in my life, and it's never something I would want to do again, but coming through that, when something else similar happens, I'm like, I've already dealt with this once. I'm charging through this time. You know, I'm not going to the woe is me stuff again, you know, and it, you know, the adage when I was in the military, I can't remember where it was from. It may have been, well, I'm not even going to guess who came up with the quote, but the one that I kept saying was that which does not kill me only makes me stronger. And, you know, it's no fun coming through it, but once you're coming through, it's like, that's behind me now and it's not going to affect me anymore. And it actually shapes what, you know, we do now. And all those experiences actually shapes what we're doing right now to help other people go through things. And that's what it sounds like you're doing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think anybody ever wants to go back through this, you know, the situations or the struggles or whatever that is, but there's definitely stuff that you gain. I think a lot of resiliency and drive has come from that. And, you know, honestly, there's some drive that I can tap into, but I know, you know, so like that scarcity mindset, that's not been a struggle necessarily for me in the past couple of years. But if it's there, I'm like, hey, you know, I need to work hard right now. You know, there's like a fear of missing out that I can kind of tap into whenever I want. So there's stuff you gain from it for sure.
Is it true that you doubled your bottom line 3 years running now for Catholic marketing?
Yeah. That's been pretty wild. We started Caffeine, and I think ultimately it's serving great clients, and I've got a kind of a system that I run for my own business. And it's basically hyper optimizing myself, my business, and my leadership. And I think that those things are really the key to that. But yeah, it's been really cool. This year, I'm hoping to do the same thing. I've decided to pivot and do more in the investment community, which has been cool. So I don't know that I'll probably see a really great return on investment in a year or two from now, but we'll see. Maybe I can still hit that 2X again this year.
Amen. And this is something that you help business owners to do when they come to you for services as well, right?
Yeah. So I'm part of a private equity group. And I joke around because I'm like, y'all, we actually are going to sell to like real private equity, because we become a partner in these businesses, or we buy these businesses, whichever it is. And we come in and we change a lot of systems and processes and really hyper optimize the business, like I was talking to you about just a minute ago. And we do that. And then also I create the marketing systems and processes that I do for most of my clients, but I basically get free reign because now we're owners in the company, you know, because there's a lot of time that I'm like, hey, I promise you, you have to, it feels risky, but you need to be doing X or Y, you know? Yeah. And sometimes it's hard for a client to get there. When it's your own business, you could choose to do that. When you're a partner in it, it's really a team decision. So it's been great. You know, we've been able to help a lot of these really great companies. One of them, for example, we acquired in February and March, we got some of the backend systems ironed out. And then in April, so this last month, we finished 195% ahead of where we were last year in that same month. So not 100% increase in revenue, but almost 200%.
Almost 200. Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And then you build that up and then sell a company, or what is the ultimate plan for what you're doing with these things?
So I'm sure some of them will turn into, I don't want to call them necessarily legacy businesses, but like there might be some that we keep that we just like. But for the most part, the goal in this scenario for this particular business is for us to do what we're doing currently, increase the revenue, increase the net margin. So I think our net margin has increased like 34% or something like that, or more. And so we increase the margin, we increase the revenue, we build up the systems and processes. And then we have other companies that we basically, you know, package together and then sell to a different investor or private equity owner. So, in a nutshell, what happens is when you have multiple companies that you could put together, you could sell, this is super simple math here. Yeah. But if you had two separate $500,000 companies, net evaluation or whatever, and you try to sell those, let's say this is totally made up, but like, let's say you got a 4X multiple on each one separately. However, if you combine them and you package them together, then it's a $1 million deal, and you might get a 6X because the larger the business class, not necessarily class, but like the group of the businesses or the total revenue and profits, the more you're going to get in return. You're going to get what we call a higher multiple. So that's the goal, is to get a bunch of them, flip them, and package them together and sell them.
So you're in partnership with other investors, but the part I want to focus on is you're all not doing the same thing. Each one of you brings something unique to the total package, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just go through the three. There's the main group of investors. There's like a couple other, guys involved, but it would be me, a guy named Nick, and a guy named Ian. They're all great. Not that everybody has to love Jesus, but these guys do, and that's important to me. And so Ian is probably double my age. He's also made an exit for like $26 million of a company that he started. And so he's got a lot of experience in the deal making side of this. And also as far as like turning around, either if we want to go the IPO route and go public with the shares, or if we wanted to turn around and sell this to more investors, he has a lot of experience in that area. And he's got a little bit, he's kind of got the sage thing going because, he's double my age. So he's got a lot of experience in there. Nick is our operations guy. So Nick is a great deal maker. He is really great at putting together deals that are both really good for us and also really good for the business owner. A lot of the business owners that we work with are either in one of two categories. They're either one, they know they've got an awesome product or service, but they don't know how to scale their company. And so it's really hard, or they're not getting the marketing that they need. And then the other one is the one who's kind of tired. They've built, a couple $100,000 or a couple $1 million business, and they've done it for a decade or 7 years now. And they kind of want to be done. They'd rather just have a mailbox money at this point.
Right.
And so those are the two types of people that we help with. Nick is great at making those deals together happen. And then ultimately my job is to come in and grow the companies. So Nick does a lot of the backend systems that enables us to scale. And I'm the one who does all the front end stuff in order to, it's putting us together systems, processes, people, all that stuff, to get those almost 200% increase in revenue, like we were talking about, and increase net profitability.
Amen. So what are some of the qualities that you have seen in, we'll just say, effective leadership?
I think the most important is empathy. And I don't know that I'm the best at it, but I've seen it, it's been when I've been led by people, I feel like empathy is the thing that I've wanted for them to understand where I'm at. And I feel like it's helped me influence the people that I lead the most, is being empathetic for where they're at. Honestly, it's a great sales and marketing technique, to be empathetic to people. So if we can be empathetic, we can then put ourselves in their shoes and feel what they're feeling, seeing and thinking. And I really think there's probably three different phases of that as far as like empathy and self-awareness. One is there's post. So it happened yesterday. You're trying to analyze what went down. Then there's right after the fact, which is better than post, because post is gone. You've already left the meeting. They're gone. You've got to send a text or an email to apologize to something you said. And then you got right after, which is basically you say something, you're trying to read what they're feeling and thinking, and you're also trying to imagine what they feel or think. That's good empathy and self-awareness. But I think ultimately the best is beforehand. So if you can go, hey, what do I want to say? What do I need them to do? But how are they going to feel about this? Can I empower my team members in order to ultimately be successful here? Can I not just delegate, but empower them to make decisions, and trying to put yourself in their shoes?
Amen. So as you are brought into these organizations, that leadership team that's already in place, how do you determine whether they need to be replaced or elevated as far as, you know, you're, okay, here's how we're going to do this from this point forward, because you're owning, you own the company. So you have the ability to, you know, keep them or fire them or whatever, right? So how do you make that determination as to their adaptability to your new systems?
It's hard. Change is hard for most people. And you know, each deal is really different. You know, sometimes we have a lot of cash up front. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes it's a lot of payments, seller finance, not necessarily seller financing, but like company financing. So it's very interesting. Every deal is very different. I don't know that we always come in with a mindset that we have to clear house. I know that a lot of really, really great business owners and, you know, CEOs who are brought into these companies actually come in, basically wipe the entire board and then restart, which I think is a very valid approach. But we don't necessarily have to do that. But I feel like it's always a conversation that we have. Like, we're in negotiations right now. And it's less of a, because we don't know the team, really. We're not going to like let go of the team because we don't know the team.
Right.
I think we need to get another team. But there are some positions or some roles that are redundant because we have a customer service, you know, system and process in place. We have a, quote, webmaster, you know, stuff in place. You know what I mean? So it really depends. I know that's not a great answer, but I think it first starts with just evaluating, and you need, if you can't measure something, you can't manage it. So I think you need to see how they're doing and what they're doing. Empathy and self-awareness are really important to us for sure.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of the interview with Evan Knox. This is just part one of our two-part interview because we got a lot of information I want you to receive that we have to go over. Now, you know, I hope you were taking notes because Evan has been sharing just some tremendous tidbits and information, not just about caffeine marketing, but about how you can improve your business as well. You know, the thing is, he's here to give you this advice to help you improve your business. Now, I recommend that you get in touch with Evan Knox. You can go down in the show notes down below, email, you know, get on that website, get the contact form, and get in touch with Evan Knox. You can also go to caffeine.marketing, so www.caffeine.marketing, and find out more information about caffeine marketing itself. All right, till next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.